Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're talking about someone who you might want to make your Valentine and who you might kill for. We're going to talk all about the illustrious and talented actor, Val Kilmer. And to do that this week, I have two fantastic guests. One of those guests you've heard on the show before, and she has prepared a fresh bio for me to share with you, so I will do that now. Kelly Attaway just took a six-week hiatus between jobs to take a road trip to stay in haunted hotels, and she didn't see a single ghost. If you or anyone you know has any ghostly leads, reach out to her on Twitter, at Kelly Attaway. That's K-E-L-L-Y. A-T-T-A-W-A-Y. Oh, and she's a software developer and storyteller in Boulder, Colorado, or whatever. So Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So talk to me a little bit about this whole attempt to stay in haunted hotels. What hotels were you seeking?
Right. Okay. So let me start from the beginning. It started when I was four.
This is somehow connected to the garage full of cats.
Somehow.
Are the cats making you sleep in haunted places?
Oh gosh, I wish. Man, I want a cat. I need a Kelly cat dealer to deliver my current self a new kitten. I want to see a ghost so bad. I've been watching like ghost hunting TV shows for my entire life. In fact, Chelsea, the other host or the other guest who has not yet been introduced, and I used to watch Ghost Hunters. Oh boy, marathons, I guess you'd say. and I just want to see a ghost, but I'm so skeptical of it. Like every time somebody tells a haunted story, I'm like, sounds like sleep paralysis. Like I can't, I hold these two things in my heart. I want to believe and I can't believe.
We talked about wanting to believe last time you were on.
Exactly. Yeah, I lived my life by that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I get that because there is a level to it that's, you know, especially from a lot of those haunted house TV mm-hmm. shows or ghost hunting TV shows where you're kind of like, wow, you're really stretching it this week to make this
seem like. Yeah, see, Ghost Hunters is really good because they almost never have any legitimate evidence. It's like, yeah, the doors creak. I don't know. The window pops open if you jump on the floor this way. Like they debunk and debunk and debunk. And I really like that.
Which is funny. Like how hard is it to build a house that's rigged to do things like that?
You know, there was an episode where somebody had rigged a house and they were like, what the fuck? Like they found it almost immediately. They were like, this is clearly a recording. Like you've got like spooky shit mounted behind the mirrors. Like this is disrespectful.
That's awesome. Did they like walk away? Was it a really short episode where they're just like, nope, we're done?
No, I think it was one of the episodes where they did do two cases. So that case was probably like 15, 20 minutes. And then the other case was probably longer, but, yeah, it was, they were just so, their feelings were hurt. They're such sweetie pies that they were like, why would you do this to us?
Well, it's rude to grift people regardless, right?
Exactly. Like, come on.
It's not like it was, it's not like this was Shark Tank or something. Like take your fake ghost operation on Shark Tank and get people to give you money for it.
Right.
Like clearly you've got some talent. You put together a haunted house.
Start a haunted house.
Yeah.
It's going to do great. Every October, like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, plus it probably could extend beyond October, right? I feel like our Halloween season is getting long, like our Christmas season. Pretty soon it's going to be like, oh, it's after Labor Day. Put the Halloween decorations up. I mean, it's spooky.
I support it.
Well, welcome back, Kelly. Our second guest, you introduced with her first name already, but Chelsea Hollander is someone who takes trivia a little too seriously. She just drove to Arkansas to see her family from Seattle and is currently stuck waiting for the fires to die down to take the long trek back home. She was hoping to enjoy the trip by taking her time and camping along the way, but climate change and her cat, Petty, named after Tom Petty, had other plans. Welcome, Chelsea. Welcome to the show.
I am excited to be here. Especially on the Val Kilmer episode.
Hell yes. Well, I mean, it sounds like, you know, I don't want to bury the lead, that Kelly let me know that you both really bonded over Val Kilmer, and that's where a lot of your friendship comes from. It's probably Val Kilmer and a cat at this point.
Yeah, mostly.
So tell me, both of you, tell me about that. I want to hear about that.
I think it started, and Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong. We were watching a movie called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and we were all sitting on a couch, and I liked Val Kilmer at this point, did not love him. And then we watched the commentary, and then something weird just clicked. And then right after that, a couple or like a week or so later, Kelly and I were like, let's watch all of his movies, every one of them. Let's just keep going. And we weren't even very close friends at that time, but we were like, I feel like you feel this too. Like we both feel this about him and we need to continue it.
So we in her sweet baby grandma's room, who we were talking about earlier, in her like sewing room, we would watch Val Kilmer movies just back to back.
Aww.
Yep, like on a laptop on like a piano bench. It wasn't comfortable. It was like really not comfortable.
But it was dark, which is good for movie
watching. That's true. Yeah, no windows. There were no windows.
Well, it really kind of just, you know, it recreates the old theater experience. Like some of those movies that you're watching are from the mid 80s. And the theaters probably were as comfortable as sitting on like a sewing bench in a dark room. That's true. At least there wasn't cigarette smoke pluming around you.
Actually, there kind of was. The garage was used as a smoking area for our male family members. So we got a little bit of this. We got the entire experience. We got the entire experience.
I feel like you should sell it. You should package this and sell it. It's like the 80s are so in, right? Like people want that retro experience. We will let you watch a movie in the grossly uncomfortable conditions that your parents did.
Yep.
Enjoy.
That sounds perfect.
Is an Airbnb now, so we can make this happen.
Ooh. Look, we always come up with a business plan at some point on an episode of this show, and I think we've already struck gold. Yeah. Well, both of you, welcome. We're talking about Val Kilmer, and my opening question is, you know, Val Kilmer has that look. I think he's a handsome man, right? Mm-hmm. He's got the jaw, he's got the face, he's got eyes, hair. He's got all the components that you really want in a skull and a person. So the question I ask both of you is, how attracted to Val Kilmer have you been in your life on a scale from 1 to 10? And why?
Okay, I'm going to need some more details. Let's talk timeline. Like, at what point? Like, am I saying the most attracted I've ever been at any time?
I think that's the best way to go. Yeah, I would say pick your peak Val Kilmer, and on a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you like, wow, this guy lights me up?
Got it. So that would be, for me, Chris Knight, real genius. That's a 9 out of 10. He is like disrespectful of authority and like foxy and has that weird guy living in his closet. I don't know. It's all appealing to me.
Yeah, well, and he's a smart guy, right? Like he's got a whole mischievous package.
Yes, and like that's sort of critical to it, is that he was like smart guy, like studious nerd smart guy, but he's like loosened up for real genius. So he's like still got all the brains, but is like also exploring his fun side, which I like and respect.
Perfect. Great. Yeah, Chelsea, what do you think?
I have to say the same. Real genius is the time when it was peak, but I feel like that was the only maybe The Saint a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the one where he's blind, I feel like I shouldn't know.
What's that called?
Yeah, At First Sight. Yeah, that was the one. So those three, I would probably be like, that was tops. But in general, I feel like a lot of people have misinterpreted my love for Val Kilmer to be something that is like he's really attractive and that's why I'm into him. But I feel like that was very far off from what I saw him as, which sounds creepy in a different way. Like I remember in college I had like helped booking comedians and stuff, and we went out to a dinner one night, and I was talking about my love for Val Kilmer because that comes up in conversation all the time. Fortunately, yeah. Unfortunately,
pass the salt. How do I feel about Val Kilmer?
Exactly. And I remember they got some of the guys got really excited when I started talking about him, but they thought that they were a bit older, and they thought that I had like this, like I would be wanting to go for them as well because of my love for Val Kilmer. And I'm like, oh no, no, no. I just think he's like a god among people. Like, it's not that he I'm attracted to him. It's just that I think he's the perfect person.
Yeah, he's Plato's form of Val Kilmer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's lovely to see that exist.
Yeah, so there was like, so I would say when I watched Real Genius, when I watched those movies, I was like, oh, he's foxy. But him as a person in my brain has like transcended that.
Yeah, I can agree with that for sure.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's really Val Kilmer and Salt and Sea, which I know is it's weird. That's a weird pull, but he's just like, he's got this like older, edgy, strung out faux hawk thing going on. It's pretty
fun. I was trying to remember that movie earlier today, and I was like, oh yeah, he's in a bathroom sometimes. It's very red, and he has a saxophone, and that's all I can remember of the movie, which
okay,
is very upsetting.
Pause the podcast so I can go watch this really quickly.
Yeah. Let's back. We'll just take 2 hours and 15 minutes and we'll come right back.
Does he have like a giant back tattoo? I'm like, I can.
He
only
does.
Remember.
He has okay. like he has like a goth, like a drippy goth back yeah. tattoo.
Oh wow!
But he's like very like he's punked
Adam
out.
Adam Lambert.
You know? Yeah, he's got like this. It's sort of like he's doing a similar thing to Tyler Durden, like how Brad Pitt portrayed Tyler Durden, where it's that kind of like cool guy thing. But in Salt and Sea, Val Kilmer's like tortured because his wife was killed, I think, and he's like a jazz musician who's trying to also track down. Yeah. So it's good stuff. Great job.
Who's he tracking down? Whoever murdered his wife, I assume.
I think so. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I feel like it's also a very depressing and somewhat confusing movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, great job on the opening question. You're each getting 2 points.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to jump into round number one. So Chelsea, we'll start with you. Do you have a vague idea about Dieter von Kunth?
From MacGruber?
Yeah, from MacGruber. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's all I remember. He's like an angry Russian man. Not even angry. He was maybe calm. I don't remember his personality in the movie, which is not good. I will say he was very angry and he just wanted the world to, I can't. And I love Will Forte. And I'm assuming Will Forte wanted to save the world, but I can't remember MacGruber wanting to destroy the world. So let's just say he wanted to clog all the toilets or something.
Great. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Kelly, what can you add about Dieter von Kunth?
Yeah, the best I can do, having never seen this movie, is that he was extending one of the bad guys from The Saint who was like trying to destroy the world with nuclear something. Cold fusion. It was cold fusion. Got it.
Cold fusion. Yep. Mm-hmm. Very good.
So he like flipped characters and is now one of the bad guys from The Saint and is doing cold fusion and is trying to kidnap Foxy Lady Scientist.
Right on. Yeah, you're not wrong. Dieter von Kunth is the antagonist in MacGruber. He is a notorious terrorist and he also had previously murdered MacGruber's fiance.
Oh shit.
And his plan is to divert some Chinese missiles to have them blow up Washington, D.C. and frame MacGruber of the crime. Yeah, that's pretty much the joy.
I've got a quick cue. Who is MacGruber? In the way that I imagine it is that he's like a mall cop. Is that not the case?
He's like a, he's a MacGyver.
He's more MacGyver.
Parody. Yeah, I mean, he's...
he's got like a national profile, so it would make sense to frame him for this.
Yeah, so the MacGruber starts on like these late night SNL sketches, like the last 20 minutes of the show, where Will Forte is always trying to disarm a bomb or get them out of a room that's going to explode or whatever. But it turns out like he doesn't have the things he needs to do it. Like he's completely inept. And that's sort of the joke, is that he's supposed to be able to get them out of anything. And he can't.
So it doesn't make a ton of sense to frame him for something like that because he would never be able to pull it off. Do I get the joke?
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, because in the movie, in the canon of the movie, they seem to think that he is like an international superhero crime fighter guy.
And so setting him up makes sense because it's a very like versus sort of thing. But MacGruber's also a pretty notorious coward throughout the movie because he's just constantly offering to have sex with men to avoid having a conflict with them, which they play for comedy because it was 2006, I think. And things have changed a lot in 15 years about
not
what you
so
would play
much for
comedy.
Women who frequently have sex for with men to avoid
yeah
them.
No yeah yeah yeah
let's
we're
have a real conversation now.
We can but please let's
no,
do
let's
it
let's go back to Val Kilmer
let's
round
dig
two
in. yeah so great job on Dieter von Kunth. You each get 2 points for that. Kelly, round number two, do you have a vague idea about Top Secret?
Oh my God, yes. Okay, so Top Secret. Chelsea and I watched this movie in her sweet baby grandma's living room.
I imagine so.
Top Secret is like Val Kilmer's like debut movie. It's the first thing he ever did, I think. And it's like so goofy. It's like a parody of like teeny bopper rock. Like he's basically an Elvis caricature, but he's also somehow like a he like gets wrapped up in like spy espionage. So I want to say he goes to like Germany maybe, and I feel like it's like it's almost like Hitler's Germany. and he I don't remember, there's like a lady who he falls for and they like join. I think that she was already in the resistance and he like joins up with her, but I don't know. He's like, it's like a movie musical though, because it like, it sounds like a spy movie, but at every turn he's like, like he just sings through the whole thing. Lots of hip movements. I just remember like having a really good time.
Right on. Yeah. I mean, hips don't lie. So it makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
You want truth in a protagonist. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Chelsea, anything to add about Top Secret?
There are cows.
Oh, yes.
He ends up in a field at some point. There are cows. And that's the only addition I really have. His hair looked really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all I've got in addition to, I think Kelly covered everything I remember from that movie. I remember because it came out like shortly before Real Genius. And I was like, but the character, like, I don't, the characters were very different and I was expecting it to be the same because I think we watched Real Genius right before it. And the character, I mean, they're both really cool, but the one from Top Secret was like ultra cool to where he didn't have to be goofy or anything because he was just super cool. But it was funny because of, I don't, slapstick comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but yeah. I mean, think that's all I have is the cows. Really, I'm just going to add the cows.
I don't know how I forgot the cows, you're right.
there is a cow prominently featured on the film poster. Wearing boots. It's cow wearing boots.
Are they blue suede or do they not go that far with the Elvis? No,
they look like they might be like black wellies from what I'm seeing.
Probably
on the poster.
Good. It'd be weird if you put a cow in suede.
Yeah. it's a form of cannibalism, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, you don't want to meet a person wearing a skin suit. You shouldn't want to meet a cow wearing a leather jacket.
No, problematic.
Something's up. But yeah, I think it's a very good point that, you know, Top Secret comes out in 84. Real Genius comes out in 86, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, they're pretty close to each other, but very different in that, like, Real Genius is sort of a more, like, hey, we're in this place and time, and this is a movie where people can be relied upon to be a certain thing. And Top Secret is more of, like, what Kelly had noted, that it's almost like a musical comedy action hybrid thing that doesn't really pick a lane. It just sort of enjoys being in all of them at the same time.
People talk shit about that one, but I stand by it. I think it's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, plus, like, okay, this supporting cast, you've got Omar Sharif, you've got Peter Cushing, like, serious stuff. Yeah, came out in 84. It parodies musical starring Elvis Presley, spy films of the Cold War era. He plays Nick Rivers, who he travels to East Germany, which is represented like it's still under Hitler's regime, to basically like play a concert, and then gets meets this woman named Hillary, who is part of a resistance, gets wrapped up in that. Then they have to perform anyway to avoid an incident. It's great. It's like a fun little chase movie that's all over the place. Very good. Kelly, I'm going to give you 3 points. And Chelsea, I'm going to give you 2 points. And now we're going to jump into our first game. We're going to play Kilmer Quotes.
Okay.
So I'm going to read a quote to you, and you're going to tell me the name of the film in which it appeared. These are all quotes Val Kilmer spoke as one character or another. So Chelsea, we'll start with you first. The first quote is, "It's the car, right? Chicks love the car."
Batman. Forever?
Forever. Very good. Yeah. I'm glad that you continue.
There's a question mark at the end of that. I have the art piece of Batman Forever, and I'm pretty sure that's what it says. Is that the metal piece that I bought when we... Okay. I have an art piece that has his face on it, and it has that written, and Val Kilmer made it.
Oh, no way.
The fact that I took a second on that is really upsetting.
I was going to say, I think we should pitch a remake of the movie called Batman Forever, where Val Kilmer comes back and you can play an older Bruce Wayne and you get everybody who's played Batman in like a multiverse sort of thing, right?
Perfect.
That would be great.
It's going to be like that episode of Doctor Who where all the doctors came back. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And then we can introduce like the War Batman and we'll pick, I don't know, somebody. We need a Lady Batman, honestly. Like
need a Lady Batman.
And not just Batwoman or Batgirl, but like Lady
Batman.
No,
Batman. Lady.
Lady Batman.
Ursula Wayne.
Brucilla is a very common name. I don't understand why anybody's questioning it.
I'll do with a Drusilla. Why can't we have a Brucilla?
Yeah, exactly. So very good, Chelsea, on number one. Kelly, number two, I think you're going to get this one. I'm going to say that just right off the bat. The quote is, "I'm your Huckleberry."
Oh, yeah. That's from Tombstone.
It sure is. Possibly his greatest role.
I think that's like widely believed to be the case. It's not what I believe in my heart, but like, I think that culture agrees with you.
I think it's uniquely undeniable, right? It's like, you watch that Doc Holliday and you go, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, because there's another movie with the same plot with a different cast of people that comes out like 3 months after Tombstone comes out. And you go, that other Doc Holliday is not doing it.
I don't know this. What's this?
Well, because there's the movie Wyatt Earp came out after Tombstone, and Wyatt Earp featured Kevin Costner as Wyatt Earp. I can't remember who played Doc Holliday in that, but totally different movie.
Oh.
And very like slow. It's a slow burn long movie, so it's not as much fun as Tombstone. Tombstone's kind of an action movie, but it's also like a buddy drama. Anyway, great job.
I don't think I saw it through to the end.
Chelsea, number three, the plaque for the alternates is down in the ladies' room.
The plaque for the alternates is down in the ladies' room. Oh, I don't know. The Saint is not.
It's not the Saint. Kelly, do you want to take a crack at it? The plaque for the alternates is down in the ladies' room. Chelsea might have just realized.
Chelsea might have just gotten it. Let's go back to Chelsea.
Okay, I might be wrong, and I know I made the face. Is it Top Gun?
It is Top Gun. That is correct.
Oh, good call. I just watched that like 2 weeks ago. How did I not remember?
I picked the more esoteric quote because the other one is like, you know, you're dangerous.
Yeah.
People go up in the air with you and they end up dead, Maverick. Like, there's so many quotes he has where he says Maverick at the end of them. So it's almost impossible to pick. Okay. Great, great, Chelsea. So Kelly, number four, the quote is, "Adolf Hitler is alive and well in Miami, and I fucked her last night."
Is this Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
It's not Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. No, Chelsea knows what it is.
Chelsea knows.
Oh, no, I don't. But I know it's not Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I just know every line of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Chelsea, do you have a guess?
The Doors?
You are correct. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well done. Well done. So that concludes Kilmer Quotes. Chelsea, 3 points. Kelly, 1 point. It's getting hot in here. Kelly, how you feeling? You feeling like, you know?
I mean, when we entered this arena, I said, Chelsea's going to demolish me. And you know what? It's about time. I've only ever won on this show. Somebody better beat me.
This is fair. You come in here into a vague idea with a target on your back. And you're just, you know, you just, you're bringing in, you just escalating the competition, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you've brought in some strong contenders, but this time really it's like, have, you really stepped in the ring, you know?
I think it's one.
All right. Let's go into round number three. So, so Kelly, do you have a vague idea about Delgo?
It's, gosh, I don't even like have enough of an idea to make something up. Delgo, it's the call sign of Val Kilmer's partner in Top Gun.
No, I mean, I'm not gonna say whether that's right or wrong. It's a very good.
I think we all know it's wrong.
It's a very good thing to say. Chelsea, what do you think, Delgo?
So is it a movie where he's in a prison and has a really bad goatee? Is that multiple movies?
Is that most of the late Val Kilmer? Is
that, yeah, I feel like that might be the most, like the 10 most recent movies. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it, but I remember a cover of a movie where he has a really intense, some intense facial hair going on. And he is in a prison for something. I don't know if he works in the prison or if he is an inmate, but that's what I think it might be.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, great job, both of you. You're both absolutely incorrect. Delgo is a 2008 American computer animated adventure science fiction romantic comedy fantasy film. That is all of the designators that they give this movie.
Which I believe is almost all of them.
Yeah, like it doesn't include horror or porn, but it covers everything else a movie is allowed to be.
Well, and like, what's the rating? Maybe it does cover those two things. We have to know.
I feel like it's probably a kids movie, sort of, because it's 89 minutes long. But
is
that
it
could just mean it's bad.
That could be a porn.
Yeah, I guess it could. You really only need like, what, 5-10 minutes tops?
Yeah.
This movie features Freddie Prinze Jr., Jennifer Love Hewitt, Anne Bancroft, Chris Kattan, Louis Gossett Jr., Val Kilmer, Malcolm McDowell.
What?
Yeah,
this sounds perfect.
It received largely negative reviews from the box office, despite winning Best Feature at the Anima Mundi. It's a competitive Brazilian video and film festival. They won that.
And
best.
What
they
year
won
did it come out?
2008. Yeah.
Okay.
It was also Anne Bancroft's final film.
Whoa.
Oh, Kelly, was that the year we started watching Val Kilmer movies?
I think it was.
Oh, no, I feel like we should have.
We just
fine.
Went straight to the classics, you know?
That's okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. We heard about the bad ratings and we didn't go.
Yeah, right. we gave it a quick Google.
Val Kilmer portrays General Bogdaris, or Bogardis. Bogardis. Great name, right? Really rolls off the tongue. You just want to see him. And he apparently, as I just scanned through the plot summary, he dies at the beginning of the second paragraph, and there's only two paragraphs of plot listed. So you go. Probably not worth your time. I wouldn't recommend
spoiler,
it.
So
right. Val Kilmer's character, who might have a goatee, maybe an animated goatee, but probably doesn't look like Val Kilmer, definitely dies.
Okay.
The movie cost $40 million to make. For a point, let's guess how much it made at the box office. Now, it's a notorious flop. So just give me, we'll say whoever's closest, regardless. So, and you can go over. I'm not going to hold you to Price is Right rules. So just throw some guesses.
I'm going to say 3 million.
I'm going to say 2 million.
2 million? It's a very Price is Right move to go just slightly under the
other
person.
Well, it's what I felt in my heart before. Yeah. Said it.
We're not sure exactly how much it made, but it made somewhere between $694,000 and $915,000.
Oh, poor little baby movie.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody lost their job on that one. Kelly, you get a point, though, because you were closest. So that means, Kelly, you got 2 points, and Chelsea, you got 1 point. That does mean that the score is now tied at 10.
Oh, shit.
It's pretty exciting, and we're going to go into round number four. You both already alluded to or mentioned the name of this movie by title earlier. Chelsea, do you have a vague idea about At First Sight?
Yes, it's a very beautiful movie where a I'm trying to make sure that I don't get them confused. Is Elizabeth Shue in it, or is it just in The Saint? Because I feel like they did like five movies together at the same time.
She in both? She's for sure in The Saint. I don't know if she's in this
For sure in The Saint.
It's a different blonde actress in this.
I'm just confusing them and thinking that Elizabeth Shue was in everything at that time. But it's a beautiful movie about a man who goes through a surgery in order to see again, and then finds out that life isn't better when you can see.
Yeah. Great. Very good. Kelly, what would you like to add about At First Sight?
Yeah, so I watched this movie in my like psych 101 class when we were talking about like, I don't know, how brains work. And mostly I just remember how bad of a job he did pretending to be blind. Like it was very like clumsily bumping into stuff and like knocking things off tables. Like it was very overacted. But yeah, sweet.
Now in this class, did they say, okay, today we're going to learn about how blindness affects your brain, and then they said, psych, we're watching this movie
basically?
was the teacher just hungover? Was that
girl? I hope so. She deserved it. Great. She was wonderful. I hope she had a fun night out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it is nice that you start realizing as you get older that teachers showed you movies when they probably had something in their life going on. And when you were a kid or a younger person, you had no concept that other people had any sort of existence outside, outside of themselves. Yeah, you both did very well. At First Sight came out in 1999. It stars Val Kilmer and Mira Sorvino, who also had a moment in the late 90s, along with Elizabeth Shue. And yeah. Amy Bennick is Sorvino's character. She takes a vacation at a spa outside of New York City, meets Virgil Adamson, Val Kilmer's character, who is a masseur at the spa and gives her a massage. And then she starts crying, so he comforts her, and then they realize
that... So this one's the porn. This is the porn.
It's like, no, I can't see anything. It's okay. Like,
I have to do it by feel.
Yeah. yeah. I remember watching this movie because I feel like this was one of those things. Something happened in the late 90s where my interest was suddenly like, oh, I want to see movies like this and like Meet Joe Black and shit like that, where I got pulled into these very like convoluted romantic sort of epic seeming movies that never actually held up. Like Meet Joe Black is not a good movie and it's like 4.5 hours long or something. It's absurd. Yeah. The only thing that's good about it is seeing Brad Pitt get hit by a bus and fly through the air.
Okay, spoiler!
It's okay. If you Google it, that's the first thing that's gonna come up. You're just gonna see gifs of that.
That's the one thing I know about the movie.
but yeah, this was another one of those where I don't know, I expected it to be something it wasn't. And it is. It's a very tender movie, and it's just kind of like, oh, hey, I want to see again. I think this concept is slightly better executed, or much better executed, in The Sound of Metal that came out recently, which is about deafness rather than blindness. But similar kinds of stuff about like, hey, we're gonna try to get the lost thing back, and then recognize that there was value in the way that I interpreted the world without that sense all along.
Yeah. Oh my God, Petty has arrived.
Oh,
he's here. Oh,
geez, like a ghost. Listener, yeah, this cat sort of just snuck up, and we're talking about like a gray and white cat, maybe with black head, black tail, and black feet.
Hi, buddy.
just came over the rampart that was the bed behind Chelsea, and gave me a fright, I'll say. Anyway, great job on At First Sight. You each get 2 points. And now we're going to play our second game. Hey. It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. So this week on Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have 3 different Vals Kilmer to decide if you will fuck, marry, or kill. The first option is his portrayal of Mad Mardigan in Willow. Oh. The second is Simon Templar from The Saint, which we already brought up, the pretty handsome at that point. So that might be a clear winner. And the third option is Philip II of Macedon from Alexander. So I ask you, which Val Kilmer will you fuck? Which will you marry? And which will you kill? Chelsea, let's start with you.
Okay. So killing Philip II, and that was a movie that I stopped before I could finish it just because it was so long. And it was, and I don't even think he made it until the end. Like, I think he ended up passing halfway through the film. I think after he passed, I was like, I'm done. I don't need to watch the rest of this. So I'm going to say Kilt on that one. And then we had, I'm trying to think of between the two. Well, I'd probably marry, and it's Mads, right? Is that from Willow?
Yeah, Mad Mardigan.
Mm-hmm. Mad Mardigan. I'd probably marry Mad Mardigan. And then fuck Simon.
Okay.
I like Mad Mardigan's hair. So that's to continue to have that in my life for the rest
braids?
Of it.
Does he have braids? Am I remembering that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well,
he's got braids.
Very long. And then yes, like, the little, like
tiny braids mm-hmm. up front. Yeah.
Yep, he's like a Padawan. It's adorable. Yeah. Yeah. But he's also like incredibly loyal. He goes to mm-hmm. the ends of the earth to defend Willow and to see this quest through, even though I think at the beginning of the movie he's a little hit or miss because he's basically Han Solo, but he's just fantasy Han Solo instead of space Han Solo. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a good great. Description.
Very good. Okay, Kelly, what do you think? How are you going to play this out?
Yeah, so I'm also going to kill the version from Alexander because I haven't seen that one and I have no emotional attachment. So.
He is missing an eye. He has a very bushy, scruffy beard.
Okay.
He looks good because it's Val Kilmer. I mean, he looks good. But yeah, I mean,
he does have anger issues in that movie, like pretty bad. He's angry a lot.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm not trying to like push you away from it.
I definitely don't want to marry him. And
yeah, I mean that's your angry.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, glare.
Yeah. No, I feel good about this choice. I feel good about it.
Good.
So agree. He's Kill. I'm gonna reverse what Chelsea said. I'm going to fuck Mad Mardigan because he's like so rough and tumble. Like I think that would be really fun. And then marry Simon Templar because he like experiences a lot of emotional growth in that movie, and I think that that's like important to me. And I think that not only that, I think that he could help me grow in similar ways.
Well, and who doesn't want to be with a saint, right? Like,
well, he's not really. He's more of a con man.
Yeah. No, but you probably would travel a lot. That would be an advantage.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'd be all over Europe all the time.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Plus, yeah. He can sketch in it. He's like a, I don't know, he's talented.
And you might understand cold fusion.
That is an extra perk that I had not considered. Great call out.
Though you got to get on the whole thing where you're like, hey, look, your ex who solved all of the world's energy woes, she's got to get out of here. Like, we can't.
I feel like that's something that, like, for the rest of my life, for the rest of our relationship, I'd be like, man, I'm never going to be as good as Elizabeth Shue. Like, she's always going to be the better ex.
I mean, you know, some people just create energy security for forever. And, you know, other people are really talented, like writers and stuff too.
Well,
so
like,
it's
make
good.
Laugh.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't sell yourself short. Great job. You're both absolutely correct. The only requisite was you really don't want to deal with Philip II of Macedon, even if he's not played by Val Kilmer, even if he's got both eyes. Like, you don't want that mess. You don't want that, that ancient just era of toxic masculinity and weirdness and all the other crap that comes with it. No, thank you. Get out of here. You'd rather take the brooding con man or the, you know, notoriously heroic but affable long-haired warrior guy. I mean, he's basically what's his face from Lord of the Rings. He's just slightly different. I mean, everybody. Yeah. So yeah, 2 points each. Great job. Now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name. All right, so we have talked about some of the famous people that Mr. Kilmer has portrayed. He has played Jim Morrison, Elvis Presley, Doc Holliday, and even Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm.
But what I ask each of you to tell me is what real person whom he has not played should he have played, or should he play in the future? Hit me with it.
Okay, I'm trying to think of somebody. I don't have an answer. I'm not like, I don't have like a list that I'm trying to provide. I'm just thinking out loud. So
I see you unfolding that large piece of paper and reading it very carefully, Kelly.
My like schematics of Val Kilmer.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of nude sketches on that folded piece of paper. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's a lot.
I mean, that's an important part.
You do. You need, I mean, come on. You don't want him to portray somebody who doesn't match his body type. It would be weird. Mm-hmm. Nobody would buy it.
I'm thinking who's like somebody super charismatic with like sort of a wry sense of humor. Barack Obama. No, sorry.
Anthony Bourdain.
Oh.
Ooh, okay. Okay. I could see that.
When you said charismatic with a sense of humor, I was like,
yeah, I don't hate that.
I'm trying to think of like him now.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking like 90s Val.
Young him. I was gonna say if we're going with young Val, that would be a different answer.
Present day Val. Yeah, young Val, I'm thinking like one of the beat poets. Alan Ginsberg was a weirdo. I think Val could do that well. I'm like looking at my
book. Yeah, looking at books. Yeah, I was like, I see you looking at books right now.
Yeah. Like, what's over here? What?
There's got to be something. There's got to be but something
nothing.
In
Is
there.
Is there like a famous maker of quilts? I've got nothing to look at. That's not fair. Is there a famous cat herder? I don't know.
I'll have him play Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would work. Well, Tom Petty.
Very good. Yeah, I like that.
There was an obvious answer in front. Oh, he's
left. Oh, he's gone.
Okay. Yeah, Kelly, Tom Petty. That sounds good. Chelsea, what do you think?
I'll stay with Bourdain as my answer.
Okay. I think that's a really interesting one. Definitely like 90s era, early 2000s era Val Kilmer playing Bourdain in a biodoc would be sharp because you've got similar kind of jaw, face structure. And he does. He's got that playful, like he's confident, he knows what he's talking about, he's open.
I'm like a little bit like bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you trying to sell my answer right now, Kelly? Because I appreciate that.
I mean, I just want to support my friends.
I'm trying to think of who I would actually put in. I should have given more thought to this.
I'm trying to like, his face is too modern. Like I was looking at the books right next to me, which are like classics. I was like, well, we can't put him in Great Gatsby because he's like a face that's seen a 4K TV, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely definitely not that. Ooh, he could play Ben Franklin now, maybe. That would be interesting.
Oh, that'd be fun. Okay, yeah.
A Ben Franklin thing. Lord Byron would be cool.
That would be great. That
young Val Kilmer as Lord Byron. That is sharp. That is sharp.
Okay, can I play Mary Shelley?
Yeah. I'm already like, look, you're already on the project. I will call Val's people in the past, and we'll get everything lined up. It's going to be real good. great job, both of you, on La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. You each get 2 points.
Yay.
So
also great job to you. You had a great answer as well.
I mean, I Googled very quickly to find a picture of somebody. I was like, that works. We're going into the final topic. So it's almost over. So if this has been painful, it's almost over. And if this has been fun, I'm sorry, it's almost over.
No.
So you're tied at 16 points. So this could be big. This could be real big. Will Kelly continue her just unregulated and unstoppable winning streak? Or Chelsea, are you going to come through? I don't know. We're going to find out. Chelsea, do you have a vague idea about Wonderland? Wonderland.
Yes. So it's about drugs. And Val Kilmer has longer hair, and man, this is gonna be terrible. Every movie I picture him on a bathroom floor. So like the Salton Sea, I'm picturing him on the bathroom floor with a saxophone. I'm picturing him on the bathroom floor with like a bag of drugs. This is horrible. I just remember the cover, which is like pants, and it has like a really good cast. And I remember being really excited to watch it. And I don't know why, but my brain is just like, you can only remember the cover. And I know, blockbuster. Just continuing to walk through the aisles and seeing only covers for so long. What cemented into my brain, not the actual movies anymore. But I remember pants and that being the cover of it. And then there being like the little pictures of the entire cast and the cast being a really good cast. So Val Kilmer doing drugs, selling drugs. He's a drug seller, dealer.
You nailed
drug
it.
Drug dealer, yeah. He deals them.
They say drug seller now, quite long. That's totally the term.
And his hair is quite quite long. It reminded me, I think it reminded me of when he was in The Doors. It was like brown and kind of like shoulder length, but plot wise, he sells drugs, something bad happens. Isn't that every plot?
I mean,
every plot to every drug movie, something bad happens. He steals drugs from the wrong person. He steals drugs from the wrong person to resell, and then shit goes down.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in Hollywood. Let's say it's in Hollywood.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, you hit a lot of stuff. You're right around it. Like the bullseye is there, and you're peppering those high point areas pieces right around it. Yeah. Very good. Kelly, Wonderland.
Yeah. I recently read an article about this movie. It's like loosely based on Candyland. So every step he makes is like a calculated part of the game. And this would go better if I remember the rules to Candyland.
There's dice, right? Candyland has dice, but they just have colors on each side.
One step forward, two step back. That's all I got.
You got hit with the candy cane. Go back to the start.
It's like a ladder, I think, that he slides down.
Is that Snakes and Ladders? Did we just change
Snakes and Ladders? I never played games. I don't know the game.
Yeah. And this is, I wonder what the regional thing is, because some people say Snakes and Ladders, and I always had Chutes and Ladders, but I've seen that both versions exist. There's literally like Snakes and Ladders and Chutes and Ladders, and they're just completely the same game, but with different art. And I don't know if that's like a copyright thing.
This one Chutes and Adders.
Chutes and Adders.
I have a mystery novel called Chutes and Adders. It's a Robin Light mystery. They're very bad, but I loved them as a child. So.
Which they had to change from Snakes and Adders, because that would just be two kinds of snakes.
You're right, yeah.
Unless the Adders are accountants, I guess.
Oh, I don't remember the book very well.
Great job. Wonderland is a 2003 American crime drama film, is based on the real life Wonderland murders that occurred in 1981. It stars Val Kilmer, Kate Bosworth, Dylan McDermott, Carrie Fisher, Lisa Kudrow, Josh Lucas, Christina Applegate, Tim Blake Nelson, and Janine Garofalo.
Holy shit.
Stacked, right? Val Kilmer plays John Holmes, the famous porn star, the Wonderland murders, at a house in Laurel Canyon in Los Angeles in 1981. But that's why we're focusing on the jeans. The poster looks like kind of like the Sticky Fingers Rolling Stones record cover. So it's close up of a button fly for jeans. And there's a gun in the belt, in the waistband, but implying the porn and the murder. That's the film. And it is crazy stacked cast. I've never seen this. But I'm interested to check it out. I don't know if it was good or not. It did not make its money back, I will say that. On a $5 million budget, somehow, a budget of $5 million with that cast. So I don't know, everybody owed somebody something, I guess.
Yeah, what year did you say this was? 2003?
2003, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, so in 2003, you get Kilmer, Bosworth, McDermott, Fisher, Kudrow. I mean, I don't know how you get Lisa Kudrow for under like $2 million anyway, just to show up, especially in 2003. That's like right after Friends. She's cashing in. Weird. But
they must have been like friends with the director. Like it must have been like a passion project or something.
Yeah. Everybody was just into like, this is an old Hollywood murder movie. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll do it. Maybe everybody got points on the back end and were disappointed that they didn't actually earn any money. But Chelsea, you did really great. I'm going to give you 3 points. And Kelly, I liked the game. I liked the whole idea. So I'm giving you 2 points. But that does mean that Chelsea wins this week's episode with 19 points. Chelsea, you know Val Kilmer just a little bit better than Kelly does.
Kelly looks so proud of me right now.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, you baked a cake. Like there's actually a congratulations Chelsea cake right now.
Oh,
amazing. This is the beauty of the audio medium. We can make up whatever things we want to happen, and it doesn't matter. So Chelsea, congratulations on winning. Great work.
Thank you. It feels great. It feels awesome. I would have felt really bad about myself because the one thing people take away from me is that I love Val Kilmer. So it would be really depressing if I didn't. No offense, Kelly.
What do I have
if I didn't beat you.
Chelsea, what are you going to do with your newfound power and influence after winning the show?
Probably rewatch all the Val Kilmer movies that I completely forgot the plot to.
Except Delgo.
That's the best course of action. Yeah.
I don't think you should watch Delgo. I think maybe if it's for free and you can watch it at like 4x speed so that 88 minutes goes by in like 15. And all you can go to regular speed whenever Val Kilmer's character is talking, so you can hear his voice, get those dulcet tones in, and then speed on through everything else.
I was saying he was also in Prince of Egypt. I'm trying to think of all of the other.
Oh yeah, I forgot because that's like the Jake Gyllenhaal one. He played two characters. Or no,
yeah,
no,
it's cartoon God one. And Moses.
He does.
Didn't he plays God in the musical, The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. too much. So much Val. Val Kilmer also has a documentary coming out on July 23rd, which is my birthday. I'm not pretending it's a gift for me from Val, but I am taking it as that. So I'm going to say I won this, and then that's my gift.
That's a real documentary. That's pretty good.
and you both sent me a photo of the two of you with Val Kilmer. Like, you met him in person.
Yeah.
So I think it's plausible that you might have whispered, like, hey, you should do an autobiographic film and just maybe release it around my birthday. Here's when it is. I don't want to put any pressure on you. But if you did, I would feel really good about it.
We did pepper that in. You're right.
Yeah. What are they doing are they deep faking it?
I don't know, for the new Top Gun.
Well, and also the documentary, like the trailer for the documentary.
I don't know how they did his voice in the trailer at all.
Computers, it must be computers.
Is this like the controversy now with the Anthony Bourdain doc that they had? They used computers to make him narrate.
Oh, I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah,
I didn't see the trailer for it.
It just kind of happened this week. They're talking about like a bunch of people now are like, hey, well, we didn't approve of this. And we don't think Anthony Bourdain would approve of this, but they used AI and previous recordings to cobble it together. So he narrates his own.
That's a little unsettling.
Yeah, I don't love that.
It's gross, right?
I think it's fine if somebody else narrates it, but I feel like he shouldn't be narrating it because he's not narrating it.
Yeah. And just by virtue of having him narrate in quotes, like, that's going to imbue like opinions and I don't know. I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree.
It puts us in a weird space too, where like when we're starting to create false immortality that way, like it's one thing to say, okay, hey, science is going to make it so people can actually live forever at some point potentially, which isn't ultimately a good idea. We can't sustain that many people, but that's beside the point. But the idea of using someone to be able to cash in on them talking about themselves from beyond or saying, hey, you falsely continue to live for as long as we want you to, which is kind of a problem with like the de-aging stuff that they've been able to do in a lot of Disney movies, including Rogue One, right? Where Peter Cushing appears as Grand Moff Tarkin, despite having been dead for 20 years, but they slip him into the movie. Now, granted, he looks fake as fuck because we have eyes and he's a computer man and not a real man, but it is, it's a weird can of worms that we're going down to a point where, I mean, what movies, there could be a movie in 2040 that features 1988 Val Kilmer in it.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like the Robert Downey Jr. in, was it Civil War, at the beginning of Civil War, where he looked exactly like he did in the earlier movies. And it was just like uncanny, almost exactly like him. That was like the time that I was most impressed with the de-aging. But that in specific is just, it's crazy. And to that point, I feel like once actors pass, are we going to end up creating movies with them just because we have all this archival footage? So crazy.
Well, and at some point it just becomes a weird legal issue where it's like, oh, well, we can just keep putting this person in because they didn't set up enough of an estate to protect their identity in perpetuity.
Oh yeah. Like, then, who has the rights to that? Oh God.
Do you like copyright your personality? Is it like 72 years? Like, eventually you enter the public domain. Like, how does that work?
Well, yeah, because you can't,
so
like,
weird.
You can't, at least the way copyright law is written now, you can't copyright your personality. You could copyright a specific phrase in a specific application, right? Or jokes, or, you know, or the work. But yeah, we're in a weird zone where, like, I mean, you know, somebody could continue to make this podcast 50 years after I'm dead with all of me talking on it. Even at this point, with almost 150 episodes in the tank, it's like, you could probably make me say just about anything. And that's creepy.
I'm going to do.
As Kelly puts on long yellow rubber gloves and gets test tubes ready to create.
Headphones, I guess.
So yeah, Chelsea, anything that you would like to plug? Anything you want the listeners to know about, to do, to check out?
Nothing I can really think of right now. I don't have anything going on.
Okay, I have something for you.
Okay, I was going to say get vaccinated if you're not vaccinated already.
Definitely.
That's my main thing.
Yeah,
that's better than my thing, which is Ryan's art.
Wait, which is what?
Ryan's art.
Oh, yes. I have a better half and he makes art and it's really amazing. His website is RyanTateArt.com. For a second, I forgot it, which is not good. But he has a link to his Etsy on it. So if you want to look at what's available, that's there as well.
And cool. Did you say Ryan or Brian?
Ryan, R-Y-A-N.
Cool. RyanTateArt.com. Great. I will put a link in to the show notes for the listeners to check that out. Kelly, I'm so sorry that you didn't win this week.
You know, it feels good to lose to somebody who I respect so much. I couldn't have happened with a better person.
Oh. It is just an honor to be nominated also. Is there anything that you want to plug?
Also get vaccinated. That's just doubling down on that plug.
Hell yeah. I mean, come on, because the Delta thing's getting out of control in some spaces with folks who haven't been vaccinated.
I'm in the worst place right now and I'm dealing with it. I mean, like it's not ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta,
Southern Midwest, I think South/Midwest area is going not so hot. So the more people that can get vaccinated, the better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause we might end up in mask mandates again, across the country and hopefully not lockdowns. That would be a bummer. I think we're all happy stretching our legs just a little bit as a treat.
It feels so novel to go to a bar. I'm like giddy the whole time.
Yeah. It was weird the first couple of times. Like it was actually kind of uncomfortable. I was like, there's too many people around.
Same.
I'm not used to this many people. And then more recently, the last couple of times, it's like, oh, this is really just pleasant. People are having conversations. I'm getting to overhear conversations, which is a thing that if you are a creative or writer of any kind, like it is fuel. Hearing other people talk about stuff gives you like, oh, I would never have that thought, but those people have that thought. And that gives me ideas about things to write, which is lovely. It's a wonderful feeling to have a spark. So yeah, let's all get vaccinated. Any final thoughts between the two of you about Val Kilmer?
He's the best. Watch all his movies. Don't buy too much into him. He is great. He name drops a lot.
He does name drop a lot. If you get the opportunity to watch the commentary on Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, highly recommend.
All right. I'm going to have to do that because I haven't seen that movie in years and it would be fun to check out that commentary.
Do it.
All right. Listeners, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. It really helps us out. You can also check out all the other podcasts we have on the network. In addition to this one, we have Roll for Blank. That is our Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast. I am now DMing a campaign called Streets of Mage that is loosely based on the old video game series Streets of Rage. So there's a lot of fighting and some joking, people eating apples and turkeys. It's a lot of fun. We also have our Sex and the City podcast. It's called Funky Spunk. And each week, granted, they've been on a bit of a hiatus, but they will be back. Each week, Britt and Zimmy discuss Sex and the City, comparing it to the feminism and sexual norms and mores of now, because that show is like 20 years old. So a lot has changed. And then also we have our Denver Nuggets podcast, the Hard Pick Mining Company, which covers the Denver Nuggets basketball team. They will be on hiatus until next season, but there's a whole lot of episodes to check out. So if you want to know about last year's Denver Nuggets and what we thought might happen to them, boy, howdy, it's a laugh riot. If you like our theme song, please check out Michael J. O'Connor's music, michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. He also has a new record from his group, The Listening Post. It is some excellent power pop music, and you can find that on bandcamp.com as well. Oh, boy. So, yeah, get vaccinated. That's my only plug. Kelly and Chelsea, thank you again so much for being on this week.
Thanks for having us. This was so fun.
Yeah, thank you. It was great.
Yeah. And congrats again, Chelsea. I hope I can have you both back. Really, this demands a rematch. I think that this really...
We can do another one over ghosts.
Ooh,
that's
okay.
The other thing that Kelly and I have underlined is ghost hunters.
Cool.
So we do a ghost or ghost hunter type
I'm in.
One. That's how we would.
I don't think I've done a ghosts episode yet. And if I have, I don't care. Let's do another one. It's going to be fun.
All right. Hell yeah.
All right. Well, we have all had a vague idea about Val Kilmer this week. And that is a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolian, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often comes from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.